Blog Talk Radio.
I'm too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
Hello and welcome to Late Nights with the Midnight Bomber with Neutron Bomb and Captain B2. Pour it out thick like honey, bittersweet like molasses, speaking your proliferous journey to profit to the empathetic masses, calling on cathartic release to expel your demons. If but for a moment increased and cease them, quell their influence, let them not commit treason. Now today's topic is T-shirt wisdom. Captain came up with the contest, and I think it's going to be a very fun week, hence the tongue-in-cheek intro song there. And how are you doing tonight, Captain?
I'm fine, but you're going to have to change your name to Miss Popularity, because your contest, your anniversary contest that I started last, it's filled. It is filled.
Wow.
You have 24 entries. And I don't envy you the judging, because you got some kick-ass poetry.
Oh, no.
So, unpopularity.
Oh, man.
But I love your intro music.
I thought I'd pick one you would know, and I thought it would just be perfect for the show.
Yes, I love that one.
Yeah.
Actually,
I say that, and we've just got a caller on the line, so I'll find out who this is.
Hey!
Hello, area code 419.
Hi!
You're on the air. Hey,
hi,
is that Kel?
This is Kel. Yes.
Hi, Kel.
Yes,
how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are
awesome.
You?
Awesome. Yeah, not too bad at all. I feel like a bit of a chook without a head today, but we'll get there in the end.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh man, well, Kel, you know what? I believe you've written for this contest, so I'm gonna get you up first.
Oh wow! Okay.
That's just how
that
we roll.
That would get you to call in early.
That's just how we roll.
Get it done and over with.
Oh gosh. All right. And when you're ready, Kel.
Okay. Kel smiles. Hello, it's me. Yes, it's me again. Don't expect anyone else. Why not? You may ask me anything. I'll answer you the same way every time. I am unique. I am unusual and strange. So are you. That's a good thing. Do you agree? Oh, I've done some things that I am not proud of. In the name of love, but in actuality was only loneliness and lust. I've been places I never thought I'd go, done things I never thought I could. I survived when I shouldn't have. I bet you have too. That's perfectly okay. Isn't that right? I am set in my own ways of doing things. I've learned plenty of lessons, but I haven't always learned from my mistakes or didn't want to learn from them, ignored instead. Maybe you have too, but that's you. What do you think? I have known intense pain, anxiety, and love, unbelievable, unbearable loss of that love, physical, emotional, and mental issues too. Imagine you do. That's fine. Isn't that true? Mostly from my own life experiences with my original thoughts, feelings, ways of dealing with assorted situations thrown throughout, that made me stumble in my path. All that created who I am today. But that was me. It is me. And that's fine with me too. End poem. And that was for your prompt. I am brave. I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me.
Thank you, Kel.
Well,
that was great. And Captain, would you like to make the first comment?
Finally. I liked it. It was humorous. It was self-deprecating. It was a great take on the prompt. I don't know if you recognize the line, but it's from one of the songs out of The Greatest Showman, and it's sung by the bearded lady, and I thought it was a very good T-shirt to throw in there, but I really like, I've done some things I'm not proud of in the name of love, but actually in the name of loneliness and lust. I've set my own ways of doing things. I've earned plenty of lessons, but I haven't always learned from my mistakes. It is such a refreshingly candid piece of writing. I really enjoy that you've just, you bared yourself for all of us to have a little chuckle, and that's a pretty brave thing to do. So I really appreciate your entry, and I really enjoyed your piece.
Thank you, Captain.
Yeah, Kel, I really enjoyed this. When I did the first read of this poem, I thought there's two main protagonists in this poem, that there's two people conversing in the poem until you reach that last stanza. And it's actually the main protagonist, I'm assuming yourself, having that conversation or bargaining with yourself. And I thought that it was really a powerful take on the prompt you mentioned, I'm brave, I'm bruised, I'm who I'm meant to be, this is me. And my favourite part was actually that last stanza, but that was me. It is me, and that's fine with me too. So you get that realisation that experience has shaped you or us, and I think this will resonate with a lot of readers, and that is okay. It's a warts and all tale of self-expression, and as with all of your writes, I admire the honesty you bring to the table. Very well done.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, very clever. Very clever.
I appreciate
the pole dance.
I really did.
Thank you. Very done. Well, very well done. All right. Well, thank you for reading it for us, too. Appreciate it.
I am very blunt. I am very honest. And I don't mind putting myself out there, and I sure as heck don't mind laughing at myself, because if you can't laugh at yourself, how can you possibly laugh at anyone else? So,
oh,
yeah.
That's a damn good point.
Thank you, girls.
And, Captain, would you do me the honor of reading Rick Six's poem? I've just put it on the board.
Absolutely. Let me shuffle over to the right page here. What have I done to myself here? Oh, here we go. Okay, Albert's Folly by Rick Six. And let's see. Oh, he's got the T-shirt he selected was Everybody is a Genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. That is a quote from Albert Einstein. And the poem goes, actually, Albert, there are several varieties of tree-climbing fish, perhaps the most well-known being the mangrove killifish, which can not only alter its gills to survive out of water, but can also climb mangrove trees when the water dries up, hiding inside hollow logs until the water becomes available again. Oh, no need for you to hide, Mr. Einstein. At least you've still got E equals MC squared. Oh, that's right, my good friend. The late Hawk questioned the validity of that one way back in 2011. Don't feel bad, man. You never had Google. And poem.
I just have to say, Rick Six is, like, really brought it to the table here. Firstly, I just have to say, you learn something new every day. And the mangrove killifish was it for me. That was my go-to for today. And on another note, would Google have helped or hindered Einstein's capabilities? I really enjoyed this tongue-in-cheek offering to the prompt, and it was very clever too. What were your thoughts, Kel?
I thought it was funny. But it also has a very serious nature to it. I mean, you can laugh because he's, you know, basically tearing down Albert. But, you know, but he's also, you know, making a good point. You know, even a genius can be wrong. You know, anyone can be wrong. You know, it's just not so much what you know, it's what you learn and what you can find out. And like you said, you never had Google. You know? I love Google. So, yeah, it's a very well-written piece, and it makes you think, you know, well, was he right? So, yeah, very good.
Thanks, Kel. That was a great comment. And, Captain, what were your thoughts?
It was delightfully, it was a delightful write. It was quite ably employs a knowledge of physics and a knowledge of ichthyology to craft a very clever, very witty piece that tweaks the nose of Albert Einstein. I thought it was a very wry, tongue-in-cheek humor, piece of humor nicely done. And just to let this, I have an anecdote, actually, that was given to me by a man who knew Einstein. He was a physics professor of mine who knew Einstein when he, and he said that they used to have these roundtable discussions about science, and he said that he said they would, when they would come to a question of physics that was pretty, that was somewhat knotty or thorny, they would turn to Einstein and ask him, and he said it was not uncommon for Einstein to fold his hands and look at them and say, "Go, I don't know." Which I thought was, you know, for someone who's supposed to be the premier authority on physics, to be able to say I don't know is a very human thing to do.
humble almost.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I always admired. So I've never, because of that, I've never been afraid to say, I don't know.
That's good. I think pretending to know everything is probably going to get you in more trouble anyway.
It's like my teenage granddaughters. They know everything.
That sounds about right.
Give them a few years and they'll be amazed at how much you've learned.
Exactly. You know, the grandma don't know a damn thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been around for 50-some years. I know a hell of a lot more than you think I do. And girl, you're wrong. I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
Mark Twain, when he was 17, he couldn't stand his father because he thought the old man was stupid. And when he became 21, he was amazed at what the old man had learned in 4 years.
Yep.
That's cute.
Fine.
All right. We'll move on
Friday,
to the next one. So I'll give this one to Lee.
Out the next T-shirt.
And this.
Gotcha.
So this one is by Damn It Dave. And isn't it amazing how you start a show and every freaking pop-up that could be imaginable happens to come up on your computer screen? So I will start again. It's by Damn It Dave and it's called Ducks. Then I finally had my act together. I thought I got my ducks all in a row, but they and I were not birds of a feather, and where they've gone, well, frankly, I don't know. I thought that my affairs were all in order until the fabled feces hit the fan, and now my sanity has crossed the border. It seems that fate is just a hatchet man. My life's a fragile puzzle. I've attempted to put the pieces all where they should fit, but destiny for me has been preempted, the ducks purloined the piece before they split. End poem. And this was written to, I have it all together, I just don't remember where I put it. And Captain, would you like to go first this time?
Certainly. Sure. All right. I enjoyed it. It was delightfully whimsical, and it takes the time-honored phrase about being prepared and lays the blame on the proverbial ducks. My life's a fragile puzzle. I've attempted to put the pieces where they should fit. But destiny for me has been preempted. The ducks purloined a piece before they split. It's very witty, curly turned, and a very good job of standing the adage on its ear.
And so what did you think?
I thought it was charming. It's got just enough humor in it to really make it more interesting. I'm not saying it's a boring piece. I'm just saying it gives it a little more oomph, okay? I really loved this. I thought I had that my affairs were all in order until the fabled feces hit the fan. And now my sanity has crossed the border. It seems that fate is just a hatchet, man. He's got a really strong message, you know, about, you know, how things just don't seem to go your way. No matter what you do, something's always happening to change your plan. And, you know, it's like putting a stumbling block in your path or whatever, but in such a humorous, fun way that it's very creative and awesome. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Kel, I think my favorite line was fabled feces hit the fan. I'm going to have to remember that one for a while. And then to follow up with fate is just a hatchet man.
I have to share another one with you then.
Yeah.
When we wanted to be diplomatic, we used to say the defecation hit the ventilation.
That's good too.
Well, we've had some gold nuggets tonight, and also in this poem, and I think it just waxes philosophical with the prompt, and I really enjoyed the part that you brought up there, Captain. The ducks purloined a piece before they split. And I think with this poem, I almost didn't realize it had a rhyming structure. It was so gentle. So I think, damn it, Dave's really done the poem justice as well. So very well done.
It's very nicely. It's a nice take on the prompt.
Definitely. Definitely. Now, Kel, would you be able to read Peter Solway's poem?
I will give it my best shot, but I don't know if I can do the monotone. I love Peter's work. Read My Chest by Peter Solway. T-shirt to strip off, reveal tattooed tits, even more text. I was born for success. Nipples circling names of famous women. Eve the librarian, keen in lockdown, taking her mask off. Leaving on t-shirt, identity is everything. Penis of man, Albert Einstein. Hell is others' labels, Sartre, fuck him, Simone de Beauvoir, nipples of sin, God is dead, Nietzsche, but I live, bouncing down the street. Labels for everything, planets, moons out of our orbit, genitals below, arrows to point, and a poem.
Kel, you did so well with that. Oh, man. I think this was another tongue-in-cheek, sardonic write. And look, to be perfectly honest, I wouldn't expect anything else from Peter Solway. And I suppose I thought I was on mute there for a second. Oh, gosh. It's going well today so far, isn't it?
Oh, more for you, girlfriend.
Oh, man. I purposefully have had zero drinks today or any, like, Valium or anything like that. I was like, you know what, just, like, take it easy today because you're a space cadet as it is. So, but I just think that...
we're getting neutron on natural, huh?
That's it. Neutron on not much sleep.
I had no idea the unvarnished you was so much fun.
I'm going to get to this comment if it kills me, man. So we feel a need to label everything rather than admire the tacit beauty of it. And what it reminds me of is when people need to insert themselves into a photograph at locations of natural beauty. Look, I understand that you've traveled huge amounts of distance to get there and take your shot in front of Uluru or Niagara Falls. But then I think you need to take some photos of the natural beauty itself and it's enough of its own. And it's almost talking about putting a stamp on bodies with the tattooed tits and the nipple circling names of famous women. I just thought it was a really interesting write. I always feel inadequate reading Peter Solway's take on the philosophical, but I thought it was a thought-provoking write. It's a very, very clever piece. What do you think, Captain?
I actually was able to understand some of it, which made me think that I was maybe a little stoned. actually recognized de Beauvoir was one of the poets that the women that we had in one of the previous contests. So I thought that was pretty crafty of him to slide that in there. I was born for success, nipple circling, names of famous women. I read this several times going, Oh, he's got tattoos on his tits. Oh, great. But it is very very tongue in cheek. He's having a lot of fun with it. Labels for everything: planets, moons out of orbit, and genitals below, arrows to point. I love that last stanza. That just surmounts it all. That was great. And I agree with you too that people do tend to travel great distances to see remarkable things, and then and I can understand them wanting to take a picture of themselves there. However, I conversely, living in the nation's capital here and having worked downtown for many, many years, I was always perplexed and somewhat disappointed by the fact that here are people from all over the country and all over the world, and they're coming to the nation's capital, and what are they taking pictures of? Squirrels and ducks. They're out there in the reflecting pool, and they're taking pictures of the squirrels and the ducks. And I walked by one time at a group of tourists. I looked at them and I said, "Don't you have squirrels where you come from?" And they looked at me like I cracked, you know, that I was barking mad. You know, it's like, why are you asking us that question? Why are you in the nation's capital taking pictures of ducks? You know, they do, and that take pictures of ducks and squirrels. And I just shake my head, and I just, it's like, no, I don't. I never want to be that kind of tourist ever.
Okay. What were your thoughts?
Well, I was actually thinking about your reference to Uluru. And I wanted to say that while we were there, my husband and I wanted to go and actually visit Uluru, and we never had the opportunity. But it is an awesome, awesome place, and it's very spiritual and beautiful. And I love your accent. It reminds me of Australia. I love this. I love the reference to Nietzsche and Sartre, and I don't know who this Simone de Beauvoir is or whoever. But yeah, it's classic Peter Solway. It's tongue in cheek. It's full of satire and cynicism. And I agree,
Peter.
Captain. I have an awful time understanding a lot of his stuff, and I actually think I understand a majority of this. It's basically a, you know, a slap at, you know, people that, you know, just, you know, think that, you know, tattoos, well, I've got some, so I'm not saying anything about that. Tattoos and, you know, the t-shirts and shit are, in essence, a description of themselves. Whereas, you know, people are who they are on the outside, not on labeled or how they're labeled. And I think that's very well done. He's got a lot to say in this, and it's not all just what is I can't think of the word. There's more to it than you can see. So it's a very nice piece.
I agree, Kill. It's not just surface-based. I can't think of the word, but I think that's what you're trying to say, yeah?
What's that?
I said it's not superficial. Is that the word?
Right, yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Simone de Beauvoir.
Great comment,
she's a female philosopher. We had some months ago a contest on female philosophers, and she was one of the ones that was listed. That is. All right, moving right along.
All right, so I'm just
refreshing the screen. We've got a SoundCloud next by Eric Svensson, so I'll bring that up now. All right, and here we go.
Blessing or curse, consequence will reimburse. Upper echelon mind, airport control tower, radar blips and bleeps, eyes minefield sweep, airspace, permission granted for planes to land. Solar plexus gut acute radar, feels on different frequency. Upper echelon mind, master of three-dimensional constructs. Solar plexus gateway to worlds unseen. Tightrope walkers balance, rely on the long pole for equilibrium. It seems brilliant minds that excel contribute to a greater, clearer picture. Helen Keller's of the world. Common denominator is these giants contribute through example pathfinder work for a better world. Throughout the ages, saints and sages illumined, pray for renewal of one's mind. Milton cautioned that upper echelon mind could make heaven of hell and vice versa. Ultimately, cerebral cave is fecund fertile soil. Quantum field theory cleaves like autumn leaves. Thoughts, positive or negative, activate the thinking matrix. Radar screen blips and bleeps await a command. Control tower mind orchestrates order or chaos. Split decisions avert major catastrophes. Noted also is Midway Station Heart. Heroic stories of brave hearts. Soldiers and firemen who risk their lives. Dive into impossible situations to save comrades. Even young, astute mind is surpassed by a higher intelligence. To see the wood for the trees, understand the interconnectivity of things. Flame sharp minds butane, flame destroy life. When the greater good is ignored, grapes of wrath, bitter fruits plucked if we ignore consequence. Blessing or curse, consequence will reimburse. In an ordered, structured universe, when much is given, much is expected. Inevitably, we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. Odd how seeming intelligent minds struggle to grasp this fact. End poem.
Thank you for the SoundCloud there, Eric. I think reading this poem brought to mind the mind and gut connection, and I believe they have now actually scientifically proven it, at least on a pseudoscience level. And just on another note, I never thought anyone could document this in poetic form, but indeed Eric Svensson has. My favourite part was when the greater good is ignored, grapes of wrath, bitter fruits plucked if we ignore consequence. Blessing or curse, consequence will reimburse in an ordered, structured universe when much is given, much is expected. Inevitably, we are our brother and sister's keepers. Odd how seemingly intelligent minds struggle to grasp this fact. It was a really thought-provoking write about the greater good and the struggles with the mind if one fights it. So I thought it was a really interesting write. And, Kel, what were your thoughts?
I totally agree. This last stanza, or the last two, I should say, really says all of it, you know. The rest of it is really wonderfully written, I admit to that. But the ending It just puts it all together. And, you know, basically, I think it's saying that we're all children under the sky, under the over the earth, through God, whatever, you know, whatever you believe in. It's very spiritual, and personally, I don't know what I would do without my sister, or my brother, for that matter. And that includes my friends that I consider my brothers and my sisters, or whatever, you know, because everyone is connected through life. Everyone is connected through the earth, and that connectivity is what brings us all together, whether it's good or bad, no matter what. That's just the way things are. And it's odd how seeming intelligent minds struggle to grasp this fact. You know, it's like love your neighbor as yourself. You know, just accept. And this is very beautiful.
And what were your thoughts?
I for a moment there, I thought he was channeling Peter Solway. thank goodness that proved not to be the case. He's got some great metaphors in here. I mean, and it's really interesting. Upper echelon mind, airport control tower, radar blips and bleeps, eyes minefield sweep airspace. Permission granted for planes to land. That first stanza, marvelous. I mean, then he's got solar plexus, gut acute radar, feels on different frequencies. He's got the different body parts acting as almost like a control system. And I thought that was so bloody marvelous and so creative to attribute those different to those different attributes to body parts, talking about the head being the control tower and the gut radar. And I really enjoyed it. And I agree with both of you. The last stanza really just brings it all together into one clear focus. But I really liked his metaphors on the different control systems being attributed to the human body. I thought that was quite ingenious.
Agreed. I definitely agree. Great comment, Captain. And we'll move on to the next one, which is by OMG at CP. And actually, I'll read this one, because I think I've got a doozy for you next, Captain, so we'll see what's up next. So,
okay.
It's by OMG, it's CP, and it's called Wildflower Paths. Wildflower paths, rain dewdrops atop petals, water draining into ditches, weeds encircling tree vines, dangling from branches, public soil, trophy florets. Crowns burning in blazing fires, blossoming, standing tall, oranges, yellows, reds, silver and brown, bridges arched over rivers. At the cliff's edge sits a patch of dying grass and foam. And this was written to the prompt, expect nothing, appreciate everything. And Kel, would you like to go first with the comment this time?
Well, this is really, it's a beautiful tribute to nature and just enjoying what's provided naturally, you know, just, you know, it's like stop and smell, don't forget to stop and smell the roses type thing. It's just really a very lovely piece, and I liked it.
Oh, great comment. Yeah, I agree with this one. Hang on one second. My screen. I'll actually get Captain, if you can jump in and comment, because my computer is being uncooperative.
Not a problem. I was surprised at the brevity of it. Usually, OMG at CP usually does a little bit meatier pieces, but this one was quite succinct. I liked the different references to nature and the way that he used the prompt that he selected, which was expect nothing, appreciate everything. I think that the references to nature are spot on, because I think so many of us pass through our days, sometimes our lives, without really stopping to appreciate what we're surrounded by. And he's got wildflower paths and vines and rain and just silvers and browns and bridges over rivers. This is wonderful. I think this is, it's elegant in its simplicity.
Great comment, Captain. Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think that CP has found the natural beauty of untamed wildflowers in this rite. But the funny thing is that they can be seen as both mesmerizing or insidious weeds, depending on the eye of the beholder. And the last stanza I thought was great. Silver and brown bridges arched over rivers. At the cliff's edge sits a patch of dying grass. It really brought home the prompt when juxtaposed with the previous stanza and the vivid use of the colours, particularly the oranges, yellows and reds. I thought it was an interesting metaphor for life and death. It was really lovely. And I will bring up the next poem and we will be moving on to Jazz Karan. And Captain, if you can give this a read, that would be great.
Always save the really easy ones for me. They're assorted lies. Okay, we have Prelude to Beethoven's Symphony. But he has an audio AN, whatever the heck that means. Oh, I see down there. Author's note. And the prompt was, music is what feelings sound like. And I was wondering, when I posted some of these, I would look at them and I would think, I wonder who's going to come up with what. Especially like the last one we just read, or the one before that from Eric Sorensen. I was wondering when I posted this one what they would come up with. So we have Prelude to Beethoven's Symphony. The world is a musical place where dreams become the beat and the dreamers the orchestra, where even if one note is played differently, winter fails to comfort the iced wings of the dragonfly. Every person is measured by the harmony it produces in the heart, and if they match, they become the drums of the Styx forever. Lovely light lingers, setting the clouds aglow with fire as the cuckoo birds mark the arrival of dawn as the world turns pages in peaceful slumber. The yellow leaves begin to fade and flutter from the temple elms. At his feet, the pale green Thames lie like a rippled jade embarking on a charismatic autumn journey round the world, filling the gloomy air, enchanted with Beethoven's symphony. End poem.
Captain, and thank you, Jazz Karan, for the poem. I thought there was a really ethereal quality to this rite, particularly this part here, where even if one note is played differently, winter fails to comfort the iced wings of the dragonfly. It was a great take on the prompt, music is what feelings sound like. And the imagery is simply put beautiful. And I don't know, I've read a few of Jazz Karan's poems previously, and he always captures that turn of the season really well in his poems. And he has a fascination with nature. It reminds me a little of Swan Song.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've got that right. Yeah. Yeah. But he has his own take on things. It's just, it's got a forlorn quality to it, but it's breathtakingly beautiful at the same time. And what were your thoughts, Kel?
Well, I love Jack Graham's work. He has a, like you said, he has a really interesting take on, like, nature, and most of his stuff is really kind of lighthearted in that sense. But it also has a philosophical message, which is, you know, very intuitive. The world is a musical place where dreams become the beat and the dreamers the orchestra. I really like that. Where even if one note is played differently, winter fails to comfort the iced wings of the dragonfly. It's just really a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece. And I don't think I can really give it a whole lot of justice, no matter how hard I try.
Great comment, Kel. And finally, Captain, what were your thoughts?
He does have a very ethereal quality to his pieces. He has a sense of the world around him that is different from, I don't know, just seems like different from the average bear. To make an obscure metaphor here, or obscure reference. He's and I know he's mentioned that he's working through having Wilson's disease, which I believe is something to do with copper in the body. So, you know, he has to imagine that his daily life is somewhat distracted by this malady that he has to cope with. Basis, and yet delve into such ethereal areas as if every person is measured by the harmony it produces in the heart, and if they match, they become the drums and sticks forever. I mean, that's quite elegant, and it's just he sees beauty every place and has absolutely no difficulty writing about it. So I admire his style. I admire his positive, his outlook. His work could easily be negative because he's fighting with an affliction, but it isn't. It's always very positive, and I admire him for that. And he's to be commended.
Great comment, Captain. And the next poem is by Diane D. And Kel, if you're available, I would love for you to read this one. Kel, are you on mute, perhaps?
Sorry. Yes.
That's all right. Did you want me to come back to you, or are you okay?
Nope, I got it. The Thomas by Diane D. The day I hold you skin to skin, I'll look you over, I'll breathe you in. I say your name, you hear my voice, you'll always know you were a choice. And once I look into your eyes, I will forever hear your cries. I will teach to you a mother's love, for this is how I learned to love. And who you love, I will love too, and trust you know what's good for you. For things I need, I always say, but things I want will come a day. I will not try to make you see. I believe that things are meant to be, and of those things I need to teach, you have to know I will not preach. I will never stay in yesterday. I have a path. I know the way. You need to grow. I set you free to give you what I want for me. And poem.
Great read, Kel. And thank you, Diane, for the poem. And this was written to the prompt, "No, I'm not a superhero. I'm something even more powerful. I'm a mum." It's I just thought it was a really tender write, and it was a bit of a breath of fresh air. I don't know, like not treating children as objects or being helicopter parents, but rather realizing they are autonomous creatures you can guide. My favorite part was, I will not try to make you see. I believe that things are meant to be, and of those things I need to teach, you have to know I will not preach. Lovely sentiment. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
I agree. I was hoping that when I plugged this one in there, I put one on Mom and one on Dad, and I was hoping someone would write to one or both of them. And I'm delighted to see that Diane D. selected that one. And I am just I'm just impressed beyond words with what she came up with. You easily could have taken it and made it humorous, but she took it and made it very loving. It's a very smooth rhyme, almost melodious, and it is so loving in its approach to motherhood and the responsibilities to love and to teach. And I agree with you also. I will not try to make you see. That stanza is just so enlightened. She realizes her role is to guide, to teach, not to preach. I will never stay in yesterday. I have a path. I know the way. You need to grow. I set you free. I give to you what I want for me. That also, that stanza, the whole piece, I mean, is just remarkable, and so profound in its wisdom. But it's so lovingly written, you can't help but love it. I mean, this is something that you'd want to feel as a mother, and it almost would want you to you'd almost want someone to give it to you if you're a mother, to say, this is what I think you this is the way I think you treat me. Because that would be no higher compliment than that. So this is a really stellar piece.
Great comment, Captain. And Kel, are you read it? What were your thoughts on the piece? Oh, I think Kel may have dropped.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'll just wait a moment just to see if she calls back, but I'll just check the board, actually. Her phone has decided it needs to break and has restarted. That is my worst nightmare, like, to be in the middle of a show, especially now that we're running the studio ourselves, and either the computer or the phone shit itself. So if it had to happen to anyone, Kel, I must say I'm happy it happened to you as opposed to me, because we've still got the show running. So call back if you can, and if not, we will continue on. And I'm just glad that Kel got to read that piece as a grandmother and a mother herself. So I'll give the next piece a read, and it's called Volume 1, The Repurchased Field, and it's by T. Michelle.
I
open up.
I like
words.
His work.
Yeah, certainly.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
Piece.
You can read it if you want. No, go ahead.
Hey,
that's fine.
Especially since I admired this T-shirt. I just kept going back to it and thinking, being a functional adult, a bit excessive. I open up words.
I agree.
I open up words trying to shut themselves in. Leftover ink spills out, a chatter of veils in groups of fives and nines, skillfully planted on passive notes, shaded like the afternoon sediments of a blackout overcome me. Settling inside rattled bones, which have forgotten their age, I'm here. Between the passage of time and eroded reasons, following footsteps of metaphors, a shutdown inferno reprising its steps on a closed-off minefield. particles, the slammed gate lingers. The ribbons on the journal have long laid down in battles witnessed only by attic creeks. I've not learned a thing from this infested swamp, though it's sucked me in once too many. I've resurfaced drunk, dully recollecting being abandoned by twilight and sharp tongues of people who matter, who should matter. Some pages shift in a spiral of words. I don't know which of us is getting further away from the other. And he says, there's nothing left of me. I'm like a ruby held up to the sunrise. Is it still a stone or a world made of redness? It has no resistance to sunlight. Extracted from a sunrise ruby attributed to Rumi. Lovely.
And that was excellent. And now I think I've got Kel back on the line potentially, so I'll just bring it back on.
Is she back up on the level?
Hi, Kel. Is that you?
Hello. Hi.
Oh, gosh.
It's okay.
Gotta love it when the phone has a little hiccup, don't you?
Yes. I'm going to read through this again, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll make the first comment on this one. And
okay.
You have a read of that. Well, awesome. So I thought it was a great answer to the prompt, being a functional adult every day seems a bit excessive. I think my favorite part was the ribbons on the journal have long laid down in battles witnessed only by attic creeks. I've not learned a thing from this infested swamp, though it sucked me in once too many. I thought, great use of metaphor, and it spoke to me of silent battles or internal battles that have the potential to wreak more havoc, potentially. And I identify with being sucked in once too many times, and I think that T. Michelle's use of the infested swamp was a touch of brilliance. Captain, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I really enjoy reading to T. Michelle's thought processes. Such a wonderful, agile mind and such wonderfully layered pieces and metaphors, skillfully planted on passive notes, shaded like the afternoon sediments of a blackout. There's some great allusions to the shutdowns, the lockdowns for COVID. I'm here between the passage of time and erodible reasons, following footprints of metaphors. My God, that is beautiful. I mean, footprints of metaphors, can anything be more of a shade, more of a phantom, more of an illusion than a footprint of a metaphor? And that is great. And then you got Shutdown Inferno reprising its steps on a closed-off minefield. Again, profound. I mean, God, yes. You know, that's what it feels like sometimes, especially when you're going out. Do I mask? Do I not mask? Do I just stay the hell home? You know, what do I do? Feels like a minefield out there sometimes. But you're right, the ribbons of the journal have long laid down in battles witnessed only by attic creeks. The thought process in this is just so elegant and eloquent. I could probably, if I were stranded on a desert island and had to choose someone's work, I think I'd be going for his stuff, their stuff. I'm trying to use my binary pronouns more here lately. this is great. I like the reading of the T. Michelle's work.
Excellent comment, Captain. And Kel, were you right for us to come back to you now?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you. This is really, like she said, it's a very intense piece.
You almost have to split it up to get all of it. I really liked Footprints of Metaphors and A Shutdown Infernal reprising its steps on a closed-off minefield. You know, everything is since COVID has been such a damn mess. I've not learned a thing from this infested swamp, though it sucked me in once too many. I resurfaced drunk, dully recollecting being abandoned by twilight and sharp tongues of people who matter, who should matter. I mean, this is just, it's a really powerful piece. And, you know, it's just basically, you know, getting through one situation after another and just, you know, just keep going. Just keep going, no matter what. You know, it's an awesome, very philosophical write.
Agreed, Phil. That was a really great comment. And we've got another one here by Paul Brott. I'll give this one a read. It's a bit cheeky, this one. So it's called Vaccinate, and it's to the prompt I put the pro in procrastinate. Scientists quickly found a vaccine. Refusing to get this? Completely obscene. We're now seeking shelter from the variant Delta. You need to inoculate. Time to get your vaccine. I'm asking you to vaccinate. You've put the pro in procrastinate, so get off your asses. You won't get no rashes, and trust me, you can still masturbate and poem. I have no words. I was like, should I read this on the show or not? And I thought, fuck it, we're going to do it anyway. So, you know, it's pro-vaccination.
Oh, I was surprised when I read that the first time.
Oh, I love it. I love
Catherine,
it.
Do you want to go first? Yeah. Captain, did you want?
Oh, certainly. I was there was so much jocularity. I didn't want to just step on the laughter. I have house guests, and I could hear them carrying on the second floor. I heard all the laughter, and I said to them, there's too much. There's entirely too much levity up there. And I heard a voice say, "What's that?" And I said, "It's jocularity." And I said, "What's that?" I said, "Look it up."
There you go.
Of course,
You sound like my mom.
I would stand at the doorway to my admin, and all my troops are. And you know, you've got troops carrying on. They're happy troops, and I would stand there and mock ridicule, and I would put my hands on my hips and I would say, "There's entirely too much levity in here," and they would all just laugh at me. And I loved this. When I saw this sweatshirt, this t-shirt, I thought, oh, I have got to put this in here because I know someone's going to accompany it. I was not far from wrong. You've got the pro and procrastinate. Get off your asses. You won't get no rashes, and trust me, you can still masturbate. I mean, that is good. You don't get any pithier than that. I really enjoyed. There's a message here, which I think is marvelous. But it's couched in humor, which. As the Gilbert and Sullivan used to say, is hiding the grain of truth among the chaff. I think it's a brevity. It is bloody brilliant. I really like the way it addressed the prompt, and I was pleasantly surprised because I did not expect this approach to it. I really loved it.
Awesome comment, Captain. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
I couldn't get past the humor of it. And personally, I have I haven't decided on the vaccine yet. So, but, you know, that's, you know, a personal choice, I think. You know, just my opinion. But anyway, this is, as you know, you said it is a really brilliant right all the way through. We're not seeking shelter. We're now seeking shelter from the variant Delta. You need to inoculate. Time to get your vaccine. And I really, really enjoyed the last line. Sweating. But this, yeah, it's a very, very beautiful, wonderful piece of writing. I quite enjoyed it.
Excellent comment, Kel. Yeah, look, I'll tell you what, the thing is, like in Sydney at the moment, we're pretty much in lockdown until we get to 80% vaccination rate. That's what they've agreed to. So I was joking with my auntie today and I said, look, if they just would let me loose with a few needles and some vaccine, I'd have this happening in 2 weeks. But,
stop me before I vaccinate again.
Watch out, Neutron's got some needles.
Hey, I have a syringe and I'm not afraid to use it.
About it. And because of I have assorted health issues and I want to make sure that there isn't anything in the vaccine that's going to counteract my other problems.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But every time I go into theater, I either forget or she says, well, we'll deal with this, or this right now, and we'll go on to the next thing. Okay, so whatever.
Yeah. That's a legitimate concern.
Where I am right now.
That is a legit concern. Yeah, look at that. And that's the thing, like in Sydney, they've said, look, if you have an exemption on medical grounds, that's perfectly fine. But I think a lot of people are just dragging their heels. So that sounds legit to me there, Kel. So I think everyone should consult their doctor before making a decision. But on that note, let's get to an even funnier one. Yeah, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, we're going there.
All right.
This one's by Greg Milhorn, and I hate to do this to you, Captain, but it's your turn.
I don't mind. And I was the other night, Gray Eye says, do you mind? I said, mind? I live for that request. Okay. We are drinking in Germany. By Greg Milhorn, which sounds like a German name anyway. It was in the days of disco, and I heard the story this way, German dark beer and dancing with nothing to eat all day. All of a sudden it hits him, rumbles like crap Drogos. As all the restrooms were full, he dropped his pants and let loose. Luckily, on the darkened dance floor, no one saw the deed being done. But the smell and slippery sliding was where the fun had begun. An instant massive sewer smell did permeate the whole place as everyone left the dance floor with disgust on everyone's face. Thinking later, when he recovered, what a sight they did behold of dark beer diarrhea as years later his stories told. End poem, and it was prompt 11. Which was, as I'm scrolling up, 18, 17, 16, 17, is bad decisions make good stories. I was wondering what, I got to tell you, when I plugged some of these in, I looked at them and I went, I wonder where this is going to go.
I don't think anyone could have imagined it could have gone here, though.
Well, it was quite the colorful, as we say, ribald piece of gray. Goodness. And it's funny because I've actually been to the Hofbrauhaus in Munich, and that is definitely a beer and dancing. And we were there as a ski group I think we managed to piss off the Turkish cooks when we did a conga line for the kitchen.
Oh, man. Yeah,
I don't... Go ahead.
I actually had no idea what the prompt was when I first read this poem. And then then I thought, you know what, although this is going to be the most creative bad decision makes good stories prompt answer that there could have been. Dark beer, bodily ablutions, and very vivid imagery. And one would hope that shitting to oneself, or rather the dance floor, would serve as a warning to others. Quite unexpected answer to the prompt. Very well done.
Quite unexpected.
And Kel, what were your thoughts?
Well, at first it reminded me of my first husband because he was stationed in Germany just before we got married, or before I met him, let's say. It was back in the mid to late 80s. Okay, and that was my first thought, was of him. And then it goes on, and it's, oh, shoot. This reminds me more of a time when I got so drunk, I got sick, and went over by one of the tables in the dance room. And I don't know if there was any circumstances to it, because I was so blotto. I didn't know what was going on. So... hopefully it didn't have the same, quite the same outcome as this did. It was very amusing. What a hell of a story.
All right, if I can rescue this piece of verse, my father grew up on a farm, and they had a duck pond. And my father used to use the term like crap through a goose. So when I read it, I thought, oh, this is familiar. My father told me the story of when he was a boy, and he was quite the scamp, shall we say. My father discovered that if you give suet, you know what suet is, right? Suet is meat fat. The suet to a duck.
Yeah.
Suet to a duck, it the duck does not digest, it just simply goes straight through the duck's system and emerges on the other end. Well, my father discovered this and tested the theory. He took a piece of suet and tied it to a piece of string. My father said he had 12 ducks on that piece of string. Together, and he was rolling around on the bank of the duck pond, laughing his ass off when this large shadow loomed over him, and it was his adopted father who picked him up by the scruff of the neck, boxed his ears, and said, "Cut the goddamn duck loose." And he said, after separating the ducks, walked home, and he heard his father in the barn laughing his ass off. So, you know, if you're bored one day and you live near a farm, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, well, we've got a poem by by Goran Wee. And Kel, did you want to give this one a read?
Sure. Okay, this is Tea, Just a T-Shirt by Goran Wee. Me, Tea, Guerra, T-Shirt. Is it just his image? A lie that's gone too far? Of a modern Christ? Mothballed in its values? Religious in its faith, deluded by its myth of righteous piety, printed as the truth. For far, far too long, stories of a legend, distant shadows in the smoke, lost in mirrored images of diaries on motorbikes of what is and what is not, and poem.
Great read.
Thanks, Phil. Now, this was written to Bad Decisions Make Good Stories. And just a bit of a background. So Che Guevara, I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
If you want.
Okay. So he was somewhat of a legendary political figure, mainly with socialism. And his name is often associated with rebellion, revolution, and socialism. But the thing is, others, however, have remembered that he could be ruthless and ordered prisoners executed without trial in Cuba. So I think in this poem, Gronwy's made a stand. And, you know, when someone is almost deified, it's hard to find to come to grips with the man behind the persona. And I just remember when I was doing research for the program that I had to scroll down nearly 7 sites to find something that wasn't that was a little more balanced, that showed that while he was revolutionary, he also had a much more ruthless side. So I thought it was a really interesting read and great take on the prompt. What were your thoughts, Captain?
I agree. I think this is as about as 180 degrees from the previous read as you could possibly be. And as humorous as this was, this is very serious and an interesting examination of the man and his motivations and how the absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Guevara may have started out with the best of intentions, but got caught up in his own power. And it's lost in mirrored images of diaries on motorbikes and of what is and what is not. That is great. I mean, printed as the truth for far, far too long, stories of a legend. This poem speaks to unearthing the truth behind the legend, behind the mystique, which I think is very sound advice on any level.
Thanks, Captain. That was a great comment. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
Well, it wasn't until you mentioned the reference to him. I've heard of him as well, but it took me a minute. And, you know, I'm losing my mind, my thoughts. It's a very political and philosophical in such a way that, you know, we might see someone one way, but, you know, I don't know what I'm saying. He was an evil man.
Yeah, like there's two sides to the story, in other words,
there are. Yeah, distant shadows in the smoke, lost in mirrored images. Yeah, there are two sides to every story. And what we hear or what we've heard, because that was a long time ago, was really, you know, brutal. But, you know, probably just got stuck in a power mode and that was it. He said, well, I can do whatever I want. And
that's the absolute power corrupting.
Yeah, and I can't think. I don't know what happened. So let's continue.
All right, well, to give give everyone a break. We've got a SoundCloud up next, so a bit of a relief from the reading.
Who did that for
Verse Live. Yeah, so I'll bring it up now.
And
we can all have a chill break.
Inspiration by Versus Goliath. It is very hard for one to describe inspiration. Energy easily flows through their respiration, allows access to realms of infinite imagination. Every exhale intensifies an inner exhilaration, expressing oneself freely to worldly families. Melodic soliloquies with impressive ease release feelings with positive frequencies, then pause to listen to the vibration cease. Boisterous benevolence occupies the mind, generously gifting attention for the grind, staring at a computer screen going blind, knowing each moment will pay back in kind, enrich the soul with things immeasurable, alleviated by talents finally demonstrable, smile, pierce through inner demons' foible, forge your own path, I say, hope that's useful. I spend every day training, whether sunny or raining. I spend every day training, working out or just painting. Now no more self-refraining, just do it, awakening. Body is a temple, you are your own religion. Worship all life without any secular division. Advancement for every being, my mission. United, standing against universal attrition. At war with nature like the battles within. Time to focus on the yin, y'all too masculine. Succumb and serve and letting television win. Succubus cockatrice gives you a semen grin. Stare into the abyss while away every day. Got more product placements coming this May. Sarcasm apologies, I've something to say. Turn TV off, go to your inner temple and pray. Voice of the soul with personality attached, telling you the words with body detached, gaining insight that will never be matched. Mind the seller, always keep mine unlatched. I spend every day training, whether sunny or raining. I spend every day training, working out or just painting. Now no more self-refraining, just do it, awakening. Believe you can be whatever you want to be. Don't let anyone tell you what you ought to be. You are the homer of your very own odyssey, potentially a prophet or an experienced prodigy. Become the author of your life's prophecy. Traverse troubled seas with turmoil and travesty to gain progress and internal profit, you see. Path is long and arduous. Bask in its majesty. All about the journey. Don't rush to the goal. Inspiration is the key to opening your soul, finding that thing that makes you whole. Smoking lots of weed, so pack me a bowl. Keeps me rhyming in my transcendent flow. Here's to hoping that you already know. We're aiming for the top, about to blow. These words helping our confidence grow. Come on, and get inspired, system bro. End poem.
Great SoundCloud verses. And Captain, did you want to go first with the comments?
Just as soon as I catch my breath. Oh my God. That was, I think I've vicariously winded just from listening to him. That was amazing read. Oh my God. The I hope this was intended to be rap, because that's the vibe I got from it. And there we go. We're pulling the Asinine. We're pulling the Asinine card again. This is amazing. Just, the prompt was, strong people don't put others down; they lift them up. And wow, this is quite the piece of ink. The rhyming, the internal rhyming is just it's intoxicating. And it was almost tough for me to hear past the rhyming to listen to the message. And I read it a couple of times. Generous gifting attention for the grind, staring at a computer screen, going blind, knowing each moment will be paid back in kind. I mean, this is, in its structure, This is a really elaborate, layered piece of work, a very cerebral write because there's a lot of message here. It's a very dense piece of writing, and broken up by the little ditties separating the stanzas. The body is a temple. You are your own religion. Worship all life without secular division. Advancement for every being, my mission. Like I said, I'm loath to try and to dissect this piece because in its entirety, this is quite the impressive rite.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you there. I think there were two parts that I was the line, time to focus on the yin, y'all to masculine. I really liked that line. I really enjoyed that line. And then believe you can be whatever you want to be. Don't let anyone tell you what you ought to be. You are the homer of your very own odyssey, potentially a prophet or inexperienced prodigy. Become the author of your life's prophecy. Traverse troubled seas with turmoil and travesty. It was just such an excellent answer to the prompt, and it was quite uplifting, which after the last few poems I've read from verses, this is a bit of a departure. Number one, it's not so abstract in nature, but it's uplifting, and I feel the better for reading it, or listening to it, rather. And I think it kind of touches on that, you know, we can be encumbered by our near misses with success, or we can get back on our bike and ride, paint, train. Showing up is half the battle. So I thought it was really, really clever.
Did you read his little note in his author's note? An iteration of a piece I've been working on for a while, which explains a lot. Always expanding it, perfecting it. 5 or 6 years is a blink of an eye when you're not paying attention.
Fuck yeah, it is. That's a long, long time between rewrites. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
Oh my God. I was thinking, man, you need to stop and take a breath. Really? There's no way I could read all that without using my inhaler. But yeah, the alliteration, the rhyme, it was just fantastic all the way through. And the message of, oh, brilliant. I'm the same with you, Neutron. I really liked the part about you are the homer of your own odyssey, potentially a prophet or inexperienced prodigy. And it's just, the whole poem is an inspiration, totally, all the way through. It is beautiful, an excellent write, and I got to say, it's probably one of my favorites of versus writing. It's just amazing.
That's an excellent comment there, Kel, and a great compliment to versus. And next one we've got, I'll give this one a read because I've read it before and it just might help with the read tonight. So it's called Go Make Pie by Someday Man. Wail on and just see where that's going to bleed. No knowing brother's going to bucket bleach yours before you plop that fat sour pumpkin full skull you're wearing from them shiny hindquarter cheeks. Peter piss on with it. Uncrook that puss soured pout. Splash them dried whisker sprouts and peel on out. The great wide masked outer space force whistles. There, hell ugly but bindle sack better. Jeez Louise, man, the world's waiting. Go make pie. End poem. And Catherine,
great read.
Your thoughts? I was like, you know what, this is going to trip someone up if they haven't read it a few times, so I'm going to give it a go this time.
Oh, you did a superb job. And this was inspired by Prompt 10, which was when something goes wrong, yell plot twist and move on. I did not expect this to evolve out of that one. That's great.
And yeah, I really like the colloquial language in this piece. And it's like what you just said about verses. You can't really dissect it. You have to read it a few times to let it flow over you and coalesce with the subconscious. It's almost like when you read Anthony Burgess's Clockwork Orange for the first time. You're not really quite sure what you're reading for at least the first few chapters. You just have to keep persevering until you learn the language or the colloquialism in the language they're using. And like you, I was really hoping someone would tackle this prompt. And I think that Someday Man has delivered. And I think the lines "Go Make Pie" references making you laugh on the wall, whether it's big or small. And you know, the interesting part was that he called it a little mirrored inspirational morning pep talk. And I think in some respects it is, because it's saying to you, don't wallow in self-pity, just go do something, anything. Just I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. And tell, what were your thoughts?
I'm not real sure. I think it's a kick in the pants, really. It's like, you know,
yeah,
get over yourself and just get on with shit, you know? What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
You know, just basically that's all I'm getting out of it. It's fantastic colloquial language. Like you said, I really enjoyed the metaphors in it. And the imagery was awesome. But, you know, it's basically, you know, just get off your damn ass. Come on. Yeah, very well done.
And, Captain, did you have anything to add before we jump on to the next one?
Sure. Actually, the last line reminded me of the running joke through the first couple of Men in Black films, where they find themselves periodically in a diner having pie. And it really comes home on, I believe it was number three, where of the Will Smith character goes back in time and meets his partner in a earlier time, younger, and then when they're really faced with a dilemma that they're both really having trouble with, his partner says, "You know what? Time for pie." And they go to the restaurant, and they're just he's looking at him like he's crazy there, and they sit down and they have pie. And as he starts talking, he realizes the solution to the problem they're really agonizing over, and the partner who is played by Josh Brolin, who could read the phone book to me and I'd be fascinated. He says, "See, you just got to let the pie work." And that's what it reminded me of, when you're faced with something that is just really got you confused and you can't see a ready solution, you return to something simple. You return to something simple. Go make pie or eat pie. Just have pie. You know, or just sit down and relax and just kind of, you know, just kind of kick back and just, you know, not think about, because the more you think about the problem, the more you get yourself, as we used to say, wrapped around the axle. So this is a great way of saying just, you know, kick back and go to something simple and do it.
Nice one, Captain. And next we have a poem by Pam A. And I will get you to read it, Captain.
Okay. All righty. Shakespeare to avoid crowds. Oh, I love this. And the prompt is her illustration, not to brag, but I was avoiding people before it was trendy. I am a jaguar. Burnt orange is a comet. Plucked from the night sky between gentle quivering teeth, ingested, digesting the luminous harvest in electric delight. I now sleep the sleep of the contented as I dream of the many mountainous realms which I have yet to conquer. I am jaguar. Two legs, leave me be. End of poem.
Yeah, I really, I thought this was an interesting pen, and it suits the prompt really well. It kind of captures that introspection, but the thing is it has a strength to it as well. There's no passiveness in this poem. And the title I just thought was awesome, I Shapeshift to Avoid Crowds. It reminds me of putting on the proverbial battle armor, and these days a mask as well to brave the crowds. Very nicely penned. And what were your thoughts, Kel?
Oh, wow. Two-legged, leave me be. wow. I'm not real sure. I know I like it,
That's
but I
right.
don't know
That's
why.
You believe it or not, that still happens to me sometimes today. Some poets
well,
that...
I'm getting weird and I'm not thinking very clearly. So...
Yeah, that's all right.
My excuse for tonight.
That's all right.
Allowed.
Jump on
You're
the
allowed.
Captain, if you want.
You're allowed.
Captain,
it's okay.
Your
I really like this piece. It has a lot of power to it. And if you go back there and look, I am a jaguar, burnt orange as a comet. Of yes, they are plucked from the night sky. Between gentle quivering teeth, ingested, and if you got it, the jaguar usually has, I believe, spots, in digesting the luminous harvest in electric delight. Yes, when they feast without reservation. Now I sleep the sleep of the contented, full tummy, as I dream of the many mountainous realms which I have yet to conquer. I am jaguar, two-legged, leave me be. This animal is in its domain. It is the ruler of its domain. There is no doubt in its mind that it is the ruler of its domain. There's the power in the reed and the power in the character, which I think is marvelous.
Excellent comment, Captain. Now, we've got probably about 20 minutes, and I think we can probably fit in maybe four more poems. So I'm going to read this next one. It's by David Mayeroff, and it's called The Solitary Man. The circle of friends were all gregarious, loving parties and having fun. They seemed socially fearless. There was one among them who stood out from the crowd precisely by being nondescript and subdued. He withdrew from the scene, preferring time alone and the company of his own thoughts to the chatter of others. They mocked him, discreetly and sometimes openly. Aliens would have fared better than this one who shuns social protocol. All gathered together one night, where confrontation boiled to the surface. He challenged them to each retire to his own room without the company of others, and spend the night in quiet contemplation or reading, away from technology, away from each other. They jeered and scoffed, thinking this is no great feat, and accepted his challenge with the look of victors. So smug they were, they even joked loudly about the challenge as they retired in early evening, each to their quarters. The next morning they met at breakfast, not revealing the pacing marks on their rugs from restlessness, or the holes in graffiti on the walls from utter frustration.
He challenged them for several more nights, and they more reluctantly agreed, a little less swagger in their step. By the end of the week, as the new day dawned, they all gathered at the breakfast table. The friends gave each other the knowing eye, finally realizing the great challenge of confrontation with one's own thoughts, without distraction, without diversion. They bowed to the solitary man for his distinction and his bravery. End poem. And, Captain, what were your thoughts? Captain, are you on mute?
I am, and I was brilliant, too, damn it. this is going to sound rather self-serving, but I am reminded of a piece I wrote, and the title is I Am Fearlessly Alone. And so I understand this piece completely. I'm probably one of the rare creatures in a crowd that when everyone else was having absolute fits about the lockdown, I didn't notice any difference in my lifestyle at all because I can quite contentedly spend days in my own company and never have any reservations about it or suffer from it or feel deprived. I understand the solitary man because I'm probably the solitary man. I love the right. It speaks to me very loudly. And it's very relatable.
Thanks, Captain. That was a great comment. I think like introversion and introspection are not for the faint of heart, generally speaking. And the pandemic has unveiled a lot of mental health issues that may have been underlying as people flock to others for external stimuli to avoid being alone and with their thoughts. And for an introvert, there is certainly a difference between being alone and preferring one's company versus loneliness. But for most, there's an adjustment period. And I think for those who are more extroverted and they derive their energy from a crowd, this story poem uncovers that, that with the issuing of the challenge and the slow unfurling of the group of friends to the knowing eye, there was certainly a change of pace. What were your thoughts, Kel?
Well, I agree with Captain. I'm also an introvert. And I'll go over to my daughter's, and she'll have all kinds of friends and people over. And I'm usually the one sitting in the corner just watching them all, you know, and laughing at their antics, whatever. You know, just for the joy of being there. You know, I didn't care if I was really a part of the crowd. You know, I was a part of it, but I was a part in my own way. You know, and I'm generally, you know, just fine sitting in my home by myself, just watching TV or listening to the radio, writing, reading, whatever. You know, I'm good. I'm good with that. You know, there are times when, you know, loneliness might set in, but that's not necessarily because I'm alone. It's just because every now and then I just need someone to, you know, for that just a little bit of intimacy, you know. But this was a very brilliant write. I love the challenge he puts in there. You know, hey, you try it. Go off and be by yourself and see if you can handle it. Because some people can't. They can't handle being by themselves, you know, with their own thoughts and stuff. You know, but, you know, I'm good with me. And I've also written something, I can't remember what it's called right now, about, you know, being fine with my own company. You know, it's all good. You know, we are who we are. So it's a very excellent write.
If I can quote one of the stanzas from my piece, to be solitary is an achievement immersed in endeavors of my own choice aware of my own presence rather than of the absence of others.
Very well said, Captain.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I used to be more of an extrovert. I find myself more introverted these days, but I think I'm on the cusp because lockdown has still got to me eventually. But having said that, I think we're almost at week 10. So I think everyone would be going a bit knocking futs at the moment.
I must be confused. When I'm by myself, I'm fine by myself. When I'm with people, I'm fine with people. I guess I just adapt to my surroundings.
Yeah. Well said. All right, let's move on to the next one. We'll try get we'll try get two in definitely, but maybe a third. We'll see. So this one's by Inner Sanctum. And Kel, if you can give this one a read, that would be greatly appreciated.
No worries. Dreams of Adulting by Inner Sanctum. And the prompt is, being a functional adult every day seems a bit excessive. Boy, do I agree with that. Okay. When I was a callow and innocent child, I dreamed of adulting, and often I smiled about what I'd do when I hit 21. I thought maturing would be so much fun. But now I've grown up, and it isn't a dream. The track's gone awry, and the train's lost its steam. With college and work, it's so hard to keep up. I missed yesterday when I was still a pup. That's cute. And phone.
Captain, what were your thoughts?
I really thought this was a wonderfully introspective write. It reminds us all that when we were children, how we longed to be, quote, bigger, so we could do what we pleased, and how upon arriving at that longed-for goal of being an adult, we find ourselves yearning for the simplicity of childhood because we find out we are not as free to do as we pleased as we thought we would be. And I think it's a very lovingly, compassionately written and very elegant in simplicity.
Excellent comment, Captain. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
Well, I am always telling my granddaughters, which I have like a bunch of grandkids, okay? But I'm always telling them, say, girls, slow down. There is no hurry to grow up. Stay young as long as you can because being an adult is no fun. Well, it is to a certain extent, but there's so much responsibility and stuff that, you know, it takes away from the awesomeness of the world, you know. You got to step back every now and then and just take a look. You know, everything else just kind of pushes in your head and you just lose sight of what's really out there, you know, the beauty of the life, beauty of the world. It's like, girls, just slow down, you know. And this is, I really love this. The end kind of gets me, though, with college and work, it's so hard to keep up. I missed yesterday when I was still a pup. College and work, that's all? When do you have kids? Just wait, it gets better. Yeah, I thought this was a very good one.
No, I couldn't add anything extra to that in all seriousness. And I think you just drove home the point. This is why I'm not having kids, because I couldn't deal with it. I can say that wholeheartedly.
You're here.
I do not have the constitution to have children.
Hey,
but
as an engineer, if it doesn't come with a tech manual, I don't want it.
Yeah. I wish I'd known that.
My sister, though, she has two kids, and I'm very happy to look after them for a day and then hand them back, you know? I think that's the level of my involvement, and it works quite well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have currently I have nine grandkids and I have two more on the way.
So, holy moly.
And I have three
kids.
Yeah. So, life is good.
That's a
and I have grapes. I'm not really sure how many, but I have grapes as well.
Wow.
So, yeah,
wow.
It's interesting.
You were blessed as I was with auntie chromosomes. I don't have mommy chromosomes.
Yeah.
I have auntie chromosomes.
Being an aunt is wonderful, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's true.
Send them back.
All right. Now, we'll try and get two more in. We'll see how we go. But this next one is called Brave and Bruised by Longfellow Serenade. And, Captain, if you can give that one a read.
Sure. I am brave, but I'm bruised. And my mind is confused from worries, my pain, and my stress. And I'll never break free of the turmoil in me. Seems on my best days, I'm a mess. Although I don't know why, I still stand up and try to muddle through arduous days. But I pay a huge cost as I keep getting lost in fortunes and insidious maze. It's not easy to be the disorder that's me. The shambles is not what I planned. Every day I feel bad. But I've yet to go mad, though though sanity hangs by a strand. End poem.
I really enjoyed this one, and I actually wrote to Longfellow and asked him like about the meter, and he said it's not quite Oedipus limerick meter, but it's close. And he said the snappy meter and short stanzas reinforce the anxious feelings of the narrator, while at the same time contrasting with overall mood of the poem. And I just,
yes.
I thought it was so very well done. And, you know, I've been there myself, and there is a resilience to the main protagonist in this poem. It's not easy to be me. The disorder that's me, the shambles, is not what I planned. Every day I feel bad, but I've yet to go mad, though sanity hangs by a strand. There's still hope. He's still fighting, and I really wanted to give him a big hug. So I thought it was quite an inspired write. And, Kel, what were your thoughts?
Well, here lately, I can really, 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 really understand this piece. Relate to this. Oh, my God, I have been such a mess lately. It's awesome. I'll never break free of the turmoil in me. Seems on my best days, I'm a mess. But I haven't gone insane yet. So here we go. This is really, really a very well-written piece. I liked it. I liked the meter. It's just really well done.
Excellent, Kel. And Captain, final comments on the poem.
Yes, very skillfully constructed, very smooth rhyming with a simple yet a very pleasing pattern that you detected, and kudos to you. It flows quite nicely, delivers the message quite deftly. It's not easy to be me. It's not easy to be the disorder that's me. The shambles is not what I planned. It's very melancholy. It stresses the day of daily life with no hope at the end. It's compelling, but it makes me want to reach out and help the protagonist and give him a hug or something.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with both of you there. I think it resonates personally, and it's also a really good write. Now, I'll just jump onto the last poem for the night. This one's by Vera. And it's called Black Suspenders on Pink Trousers. A bit of a fun number to finish on.
Oh, yes.
Wearing pink jeans is trending. I'm jumping on the bus. Fix me with some shirts, loud plaids, a mix of red, blue, yellow. Just don't make them plain, ash gray. I'll finger paint a splash of green on the shoulders if I pick a darker hue. Some white stripes or piping can also lift up the shade. Black suspenders with brown leather belt, little touch of sheep in me, you say.
or is it a sign of my not gambling when I don't go suspenders only? Hip-hugging bright rose pink pants or pale baby pink knee-length shorts worn as if I'm riding my bicycle, ringing the bell on every corner. No, not as a kid. Now, going past 60, weeping over a dead pigeon found in the park, pale pink cheeks, wet tissues from fans fanned off. I'm a piece of Play-Doh like that, pointing fingers at my outfits, my head of bird nest hair, my size 12 feet, even my crooked teeth smile cannot stop my stocks and shares from rising. When a cockroach dies, answer the pallbearers marching it into their storehouse. Life cycles on. End poem. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
I bloody love that last stanza. I think that ought to be needle pointed onto a sampler. when a cockroach does, answer the pallbearers marching it into their storehouse. I mean, that speaks volumes. But I love the whimsy of the entire piece. The fact that this person is saying, I don't believe there's such a thing as being outrageous. I am me. I defy anyone to make me feel bad about being me. And the prompt was, don't underestimate my brilliance, which I love it. I mean, this person is outspoken, forward thinking, and having a good time doing it. And I follow Veer, so I recognize her work. This is quite the piece for her.
Excellent comment, Captain. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
I liked it. It's flamboyant. It's fun. So
flamboyant
personality and individuality is just really an awesome share. And I'm with Captain. I really like that last stanza, when a cockroach dies, answer the pallbearers. It's just a really, really good write.
I think Vera managed her poem to create another T-shirt in that last stanza.
yep.
So
I was thinking that.
I think you've all hit it on the nail with this, the nail on the head with this poem comments. But the only thing I'll add is that Vera dances to the beat of her own drum, and as far as I'm concerned, age disgracefully, I say, and don't let the pointed fingers get you down. So on that note, we've reached the end of our poetry for the night. Just a quick reminder that we have a first anniversary episode coming up next week, and it should be fixing to be a good show. So you're more than welcome to call in or listen. Whatever's your mode of operation, we're happy to have you. Captain, have you got anything to say in the last minute?
Yes, I was going to say happy anniversary. And I went behind your back. I wrote a lot of notes to people and said I would be brokenhearted if you didn't submit to this contest and put an entry. And it worked. But we've got some outstanding poets in the collection.
I put one in when you sent me that message.
yeah, you were one of them. But we've got and the response. I pity you poor sod, having to judge those, because there are some kick poetry out there. You're going to have a great time next week. It's wonderful poetry. We still have two open contests. I think we have the one on hypocrisy, and we have your one on Gertrude Bell. So the one on hypocrisy is starting to gather some momentum.
Excellent. So, all right, well, we have reached the end of the time allotted for the program. So we've reached that point where we have to hang up the phones and forget the shenanigans and continue with life.
Hey, great show, Ms. John. Thank you for joining us, Kel. Thank you very much.
Oh,
thank
I had
you,
a blast,
Kel,
ladies.
You...
Yes,
oh, no, no,
definitely.
Kel,
all right, bye, girls.